How many of you came to this conference hoping that when it was all over, you would know what your life purpose is, you'd know everything about it, and don't ever have to think about it again? Quite a few of you. How many of you came with a friend because you didn't know what else to go to? Well, at least we've got some people here that are serious. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, I think it's verse 7, he says, "Consider what I say, and then the Lord will give you understanding in all things." So what I want to help you imagine that we're going to do today, I'm going to give you what for the last 15 years I've been studying and distilling down as to the most manageable, practical, doable ways of thinking about and actually living out life on purpose. It's frankly a little presumptuous to think that in 50 minutes what I say is going to help you figure it out. So I'm not going to promise to do that. I am going to try to give you the most manageable ideas that I've found in the last 10 to 15 years of working on this topic. So that if you'll do what I just quoted from 1 Timothy 4:7, if you'll think about it once this seminar's done, you will really spend some time mulling on these ideas. What'll happen is God will teach you, and in the coming weeks and months, you'll start figuring it out on your own. So that's what I'm going to try to give you today, is something that if you will think about it in the coming months, God will take that reflection and He'll teach you, and you'll find yourself living on purpose. Let me first of all introduce myself and tell you who I am and why they've asked me to address this. My name's Dave Edwards. I got my degree at Kansas State University, and it was there in that ministry that I was discipled at a Baptist Student Union. And a few years later, Max Barnett asked me to join his staff at the University of Oklahoma. That's how my wife and I wound up in Norman. And that was about 22 years ago. I served with Max at the university and in the BSU ministry for about 13 years, after which our church that we were members of asked if I would come on church staff and basically do in the church environment what we'd been doing in the university environment. So what I focus on now, along with a lot of miscellaneous things, I focus on our missions, but I focus on how do we disciple young men and women who have just graduated from OU or who have come to Norman to do graduate work or to work or something like that. We're basically trying to pick up where the BSU left off, and we're having a blast. We're trying to start a church in Beirut, Lebanon. We're having the time of our lives. One of the things, though, I've noticed, and it's I'm not going to use the word epidemic, but I'm going to say it's widespread, and that there is a general aimlessness or uncertainty in at least the young people that I spend time with about this whole issue of life purpose. Now, I don't fault them for that. The church has done a pitiful job of giving them the tools. Frankly, they should have gotten the tools from dad and mom. And with the condition of the family nowadays, fathers and mothers, dads in particular, aren't giving their children the tools to live life on purpose. And so they're needing guys like me to help them. And so I spend a lot of time trying to answer this question. And so what I'm giving you today really has come out of the discipling that I do with the young adults that we minister with. I shared this with our church, and I had a woman, she's a grandmother, went through the seminar. We spent 4 to 6 weeks covering what I've condensed down to 45 minutes for you today. And at the end of it, this woman who's well into her 60s came to me and said, "This is the first time in my life it has ever occurred to me that I had a purpose. I have lived my entire life simply doing whatever happened to come along. And she's enjoyed the Christian life. She certainly hasn't had a worthless life, but she's here was a woman well into her 60s telling me that this seminar was the first time it had ever occurred to her that there was a purpose for her life. I thought, what a pity. So hopefully, if you'll take these things and mull on them in the coming months and probably the coming years, because for most of you it'll take about 10 years to really figure this out. But if you'll spend the time and keep it before the Lord, you'll find yourself when you're 30 years old being able to say, this is who I am, this is where I'm headed, and this is how I do this on a weekly basis. I found a quote, A.W. Tozer made this observation. He says, in God there is motion, but there's never wasted motion. He always works towards a predicted end. So, being made in His image, we are by nature constituted so that we are justifying our existence only when we are working with a purpose in mind. Aimless activity is beneath the worth and dignity of a human being. Activity that does not result in progress towards a goal is wasted. And yet, most Christians have no clear end toward which they are striving. Well, I'm going to take Mr. Tozer's comments seriously and see, is there a way we can get a handle on what is our life purpose? And more specifically, what is my purpose in life? So here's what we're going to try to do in this workshop. In the coming minutes, I'm going to address the subject of how do you define life purpose. We're going to talk about how do you find it. And that's the big thing for the young adults I'm working with is, Dave, how do I figure this out? Then I'm going to give you some skills on how to actually put it into words. And then I'm going to show you how do you actually do it, where it's not just a plaque on the wall or a little slogan in the front of your journal, but it's something you actually can plan Tuesday and know that you're living Tuesday on purpose. And I'll give you those skills. So let's start with how do you define it. What do we mean when we're talking about life purpose? And if I use the word purpose, and then I use the word mission, and then I use the word vision, it's all the same thing for our purposes today. So don't get hung up if I start changing words. We're talking about why do you exist on this planet. I spent a lot of time researching this and looking at what different people gave as far as definitions and tried to gather all of this up and to come up with something that put it all in one sentence. This is my effort. It's a little clumsy, so I'll explain this in detail, but this is my effort to put in one sentence what we mean by Christian life purpose. Life purpose is a clear and realistic mental image that's given by God, which compels you to seek Him and to trust Him to use your unique design to accomplish your portion of His will. Okay, that's a long sentence. It's got a lot in it. Let's chew on it for a second. So, Mike, next slide. No, I'm sorry. What did I give you? Do I actually have the details of this spelled out? Okay. It won't be up here, but I've got given you the breakout on your handout. What do we mean by a clear and mental image? It means that it's not hypothetical. You can actually imagine this. you can actually mentally see yourself accomplishing this. This is not wishful thinking. This is not just an inspiring thought, but it's something that you can back up from it and you can say, I really believe I can do this. And so there's a realistic element to it. What do we mean by the idea of given by God? The difference between Christian purpose and what you might get in an MBA class where they emphasize you need to have a purpose. What they're saying is that you need to sit down and you need to come up with a goal. Well, I want to be very clear this morning. I am not telling you to just come up with a goal for your life. You'll probably make a mistake if you do that. God is the one who articulates this to the Christian. He's the one that brings it into focus. So if you're going to live like a life on purpose, it begins by spending time with God and spending time in His Word, figuring out what He's doing and then what part of it He wants you to do. Let Him give it to you. Don't just sit down some Saturday afternoon and decide, okay, I need to come up with a purpose in life, and then you write something out. If you do, a good chance you're going to be wrong. Let God give it to you. When He does, though, one of the marks of this life purpose is that it's compelling. There's something about it that you get excited about. Men in particular. There's something, it gives you a sense, your masculinity is inspired. There's something ablaze in your soul because there's a reason to be alive. You matter. And you want to do this. One of the marks of life purpose is that when you get torpedoed in life, which happens, I'm in my mid-50s and I still get torpedoed. I go through my slumps and stuff like that. But if I know what my life purpose is, guess what tends to come back to the surface? You know, I can push an ice cube underwater, but when I let go of it, it just comes right back to the surface. And that's what your life purpose tends to do. When you know it, even when life clobbers you, it comes back. That's the compelling nature of it. It's the sort of thing that you wake up in the morning and you find yourself thinking, I want to do this. It compels you then to seek God, because this life purpose, when you look at it, there's a part of it that you see as realistic. There's another sense in which you realize, apart from Him, I can do nothing. You look at that and you realize, yes, He wants me to do this. And then on the other hand, apart from Him, I can't do this. And so it motivates you to go back to Him and to seek Him for the strength and the guidance and the wisdom to do this. And so it compels you to seek Him and to trust Him to use your unique design. When God clarifies purpose, what He's already given you fits that purpose. He made you for that. You're shaped to fit that. And you're not shaped to fit something else. And so when I look at what God wants me to do with my life, I can also look at me and realize He's given me what I need. I don't fall short of that. I'm good at this. There's other things I'm not good at. I've tried those things, and guess what happened? I failed. Or I might have gotten by, but I just realized I'm not cut out for this. Well, that makes sense. I'm not designed for that. But I am designed for one thing. And I'm good at that. And what I'm suggesting is that you are too. And that as you get to know how God made you, what are those resources? What are those things? Well, He's given, if you're a Christian, He's given you a spiritual gift. He's given you natural talents. He's given you a personality. He's given you experiences. And he's given you an inner motivation. And those things work together to make you unique and to help you fulfill that unique call or that unique purpose and mission for your life. So, you trust him to enable you to fulfill that unique design that he's given you to accomplish your portion of his will. God's called me to do a few things. He's called you to do a few things. And none of us are expected to do it all. But each of us is expected to do our part. And the combination of those things is how God accomplishes his will on the earth. So, we can look around and ask the question, what would you assume Billy Graham's mission in life is? You can give me some answers on this. I would assume that. What about your pastor? Ours, that would be his, in fact, it's not only preaching, but it's teaching preaching. He loves to preach, but he really teaches. He just has to explain. That's the way God made him. But you might have a pastor that's much more of an encourager or an organizer. But see, that's different than Billy Graham's. What about George Bush? We assume, from what we know, that our president's a Christian. What's his mission in life? It's in politics, isn't it? What about James Dobson? Family? That's his issue. What about Max Barnett? Discipleship, and in particular, college students. Man, the guy's nearly 70 years old, and what's he doing? Working with college students. That's all he ever does. But it's clear in his mind what his purpose is. What about Mother Teresa? Yeah, the poor, the needy, the invalids. You see the vast variety? So just because somebody gets up and is emphatic in their message about this is what every Christian needs to be doing, well, in a general sense, they're probably right. But as you walk with God and he works in your heart, you can see that there's going to be this variety. And just because somebody else is excited about their particular calling in life doesn't necessarily mean that that's what yours will be. You walk with God and let him clarify that for you. Let me give you a suggestion. I won't have time to really go into detail. Sometime, if you really want to see how important this is, study through the Gospels. In particular, study through the Gospel of John. And every time it says something about why Jesus was here or who he knew himself to be, just make a note of that. And you will see that this was not a minor issue for Jesus, but that it was his bread and butter. Jesus knew who he was, where he was headed, what he was expected to do, and what he wasn't expected to do, and he did everything in sync and in harmony with his understanding of his life purpose. And you will find, I was going to give it to you, but I just didn't know how many to publish it. You can do it yourself. The passage, the list is incredible when you go looking for it. Jesus lived life on purpose and knew what to do, when to do it, and what not to do. So, start that journey of your own. So that raises the question then, how do we find it? We talked about defining it. How does a person go looking for it? And with some degree of certainty, how do you find it? Another way of saying this is, how do you clarify what your purpose is? Well, let me say in very general terms, first thing is that Christ works in your life and he clarifies to you His heart for His glory and for the nations. And so it starts out with you getting to know God and what's on His heart. And this is the broad general thing. And you align yourself, you yield yourself to what's on His heart. Now, that's why you come to conferences like this. You're going to hear a lot about what's important to God. And as you yield yourself with that, what you've done is you've put yourself in a position to start hearing from Him then about what particular part of what's important to Him that He wants you to do. So, it begins with that. And generally speaking, now this is my observation, this is not a doctrinal point, but generally speaking, for most of you, it will begin very broad and general. Meaning, someone's in their early 20s, and the question has come up, what is your purpose in life? And you think, well, I'm really not sure. All I know is I want to make disciples, and I want to know God as well as I can possibly know Him. And I think I want to be in business. Or I think I want to be a homemaker. I'm not married yet, but that's what I think I want to do. You see, those are general. And that's, for most of us, that's where it begins. And it may be a decade before it becomes specific. Don't let that fluster you. I get around the guys I'm working with, and they want to know now, what is my purpose in life? And I wish I could answer that question for them, but I have to keep reminding them, and we'll see in a minute a biblical example, that sometimes it takes until you're 30 years old to know with in specific form what it is. Be patient with that. And move forward with what you know of that general purpose in life, and then God will start to narrow it down. So, it begins broad and general. Over time, perhaps years, it becomes specific. Let me park there for a second. Any questions so far on this one? I'm going to say yes, or He takes the dreaming and the desiring that we're doing, and so long as it's noble, He then guides it and steers it. The Psalms talk about He gives us our heart's desires, and that's a little tricky to interpret. We're not sure if David's saying He gives me what I'm desiring, this inner dream, or if the thing I was desiring finally came to pass. And it's a little uncertain what that passage means. But I think God works, I know God works in our minds. And there's certain things that, I just think of it as this iceberg. It just keeps floating up to the surface. And of all the possibilities in life, that one just keeps floating back to the surface. And you just, it excites you. Thus we dream about it. And where'd that come from? God. So, yes. And you want to take those seriously. Someone described it this way, and I think there's some wisdom in this. That just because I'm dreaming it my sophomore year in college, I may not have the clear picture of what it's going to be. my sophomore year in college, there was no way I imagined what I'm doing now. There's just no way. And it's naive for me to assume my son is going to figure it out his sophomore or junior year. But if I will encourage my son to follow the dream he has, God will steer him. And probably when I'm 30, 35, somewhere in there, it's going to be very clear in his mind. Somebody else raised a hand. Well, I want you to feel free to ask questions. We'll do the best we can to answer them if we've got time. So, let me illustrate it. Let me give you some bits of advice here on this whole issue of finding it. This is what I give to the guys I'm working with and young women that my wife and I have a chance to disciple. Devote your 20s to developing your walk with God. It doesn't mean that's the only thing you're doing. But concentrate on developing a walk with God during your 20s so that when God speaks to you, you're accustomed to listening to Him. You're connected with Him. You're sensitive to Him. The second thing is get as much training and as many experiences as you possibly can. Go to conferences like this. Go on mission trips. Expose yourself to as much as you possibly can, because God is going to use those things to do a couple of things. He'll use some of those experiences to show you what you ought to do, and the rest of those experiences to show you what you don't need to do. See, part of this is a process of elimination. And just because you tried something, you did something for a summer, and my, that was a lousy experience, I'm never doing that again. Don't look at that as a loss. Look at that as, I'm closer to figuring out what my purpose in life is. I've just eliminated something that I don't have to waste the rest of my life doing. It really is a process of elimination. So, get as many experiences and as much exposure as you can in the next decade. I tell people, adopt someone else's purpose for a while and pursue it. For a lot of us, that's where we get it. For sons, they take on their dad's purpose in life. And then maybe later on, it adjusts and they figure out their own. But by adopting their father's purpose, it moved them into life and they started moving ahead, and then God could guide them. For me, I adopted the man who discipled me. I took on his purpose in life and pursued that. Parts of it I still have as my own. Other parts of it, God has adjusted and refined, and I see where I'm different than Him, but I started by adopting His. That's why I'm going to show you my life purpose up here in a few minutes. I'm going to give it to you. Now, I know that that's not what you're going to do the rest of your life, but I'm giving it to you so you've got something to start with. There's nothing wrong with taking someone else's purpose and making it your own, and then God will refine that and show you what parts of it to keep and what parts of it to replace. And then be patient. As I've said before, purpose may take a decade to come into focus. Now, I see exceptions to that, but generally speaking, a person's 20s they tend to be broad and general. It's in your 30s and 40s that it starts becoming very, very, very clear and specific. So, we've talked about finding it. I've given you this bit of advice. Let me give you a quick illustration, and then we'll move on to the idea of how do we state it. I spent 3 years studying the life of King David in the Old Testament. I felt like I was mentored by the man. And I just walked with the man week after week after week as I studied his life and studied what he wrote. I noticed how purpose came into focus for him. And if David were to write a personal mission statement, it would include these two ideas. One of them would be this idea of my purpose is to know the Lord as fully as possible. Over and over, you see that. This part of it was clear in his mind when he was 15 years old. There was another part of his life mission, though, that he would state like this. My purpose is to be king of Israel, willing to do all that the Lord commands me to do. He was roughly 15 years old when this was spoken to him by the prophet Samuel. He was 30 years old before this came into being. And what I learned from that is that many times what we aspire to, it may be a decade to a decade and a half later before it actually comes to being. We're back to dreams. David dreamed about this for 15 years before it actually came to be. What happened during those 15 years? In a nutshell, it was during that 15 years of waiting that he developed character. It was during that 15 years that he concentrated on this. It was during that 15 years he had to answer the question, am I going to be a quitter or a finisher? He had to answer the question, am I going to honor and be loyal to the people over me? He had to answer the question, am I going to trust God to bring these dreams to pass? During those times, he began to write psalms, and so even though he didn't realize he was fulfilling his mission in life, he was. During those 15 years, a group of men came around him, we now know as his mighty men. And that was the beginning of his governmental success, even though at the time it just looked like I'm trying to stay alive, hiding in rocks and caves like Osama bin Laden. It was during that time of hiding and waiting and frustration and uncertainty that he noticed a spot, a hill in Palestine, that he said, one of these days when I become king, I'm going to conquer that mountain and I'm going to build a capital city there. And if possible, I would like that to be the place where all the nations of the earth can come and worship this God who I know and who I love. And one day I would love to build a temple there. That idea was birthed during this time of uncertainty and aimlessness. And at the time, he had no idea what God was doing with all of this. Point being, gang, if your 20s seem to go from this to this to this to this, God is the one that will connect the dots. You keep walking with him, and he will put it together for you. And that's what he did for David. So, let's move to the... Mike, if you would, move it ahead a couple. A few years ago, as I was trying to wrestle with, how do I clarify this? How do I explain this? An analogy came to mind. I'm going to share this real briefly with you. But if you would think of life purpose somewhat like a tractor trailer, one of these big 18-wheel rigs. And girls, I'm sorry, I couldn't come up with something a little more feminine. I just, you come up with an analogy of your own, but something metallic is all I've been able to come up with thus far. But hang with me, girls. On an 18-wheel rig, it's really two parts. There's a tractor and there's a trailer. Now, if you think about your life purpose as having two general areas, let's imagine one of them is being the tractor and the other is the trailer. So hit that next. Go back, Mike. I'm sorry. The tractor is that part of your life purpose that gives you power and motivation and direction. That's your heart. So part of what you're doing when it comes to life purpose is developing that inner part of you that pulls your life. Develop your heart. Develop your character. Develop your relationship skills. If that's weak, you cannot pull the rest of it. So gang, concentrate on your heart. Concentrate on loving God and knowing Him and having purity instead of being all wrapped up in sin and all sorts of things that hold you back. Now that's the tractor part of it. That's where you get strength. Then there's the trailer part of your life purpose, and that's your capacity to assume responsibilities. Most of the guys I'm working with, when they ask me the question, Dave, what's my purpose in life, what they're really asking is, what's my trailer? What are the responsibilities God wants me to fulfill in life? That's a legitimate question. But gang, it doesn't matter how big your trailer is, if your tractor can't pull it, it's not going to go anywhere. So I have to keep coming back and saying, hey guys, if you're not sure all the details of the responsibilities God's given you, you concentrate on the tractor and let God be concerned with the cargo that He puts on your trailer. Over time, God puts cargo on your life. And what I see with a lot of guys in their 20s is they feel like, I've got to hurry up and fill up my life with responsibilities to feel like I have worth in life. And then God has to come along and unload all this cargo they've put on their trailer and replace it with what He wants on their trailer. And so I just have to keep telling them, guys, be patient. You get to know God, and in time, He will add these significant things to your life. And these would be things like a clear sense of career, whether you'll be married or not, and whether you'll have children or not, and a clear sense of, this is where I need to focus in ministry. Let God put those things on, put the cargo on your trailer over time. You make sure that whatever He puts on that, your heart, your inner man is strong enough to carry it. Keep this primary. Is that clear? Okay, give me the next. Slide. The way this works out for me, here's my tractor. My purpose is to know Jesus Christ as fully as possible that I might glorify Him and join Him as He establishes His church throughout the earth. That's what drives my life. So, in order to do this, I need to be diligent with my spiritual disciplines. I need to be closely connected with others who live a purpose-driven life. And I also need to be a man of virtue. That's the tractor part of my life. Now, that will never change. On the day I die, I'm still going to be doing that. Now, my trailer and my cargo might change over my lifetime. Here's what it is for me. As I pursue and know Him, Christ enables me to fulfill the unique mission that He has entrusted to me. This mission is made up of several fundamental relationship roles which I must give my best effort to. I have a mission, first of all, as a man. Now, by that, I'm not trying to be egocentric. What I'm just aware of is that I've got to take care of me. I've got to have something to give to you. So I work on being the best me I can be. I'm not being selfish. I'm simply being practical in taking care of me. You take care of who? You. Stay healthy, stay bright, you know, things like that. Then, I have a responsibility as a husband and a father. I had better do this well. Nancy is going to, I want her to be one of the top five loved women in the world. I mean, I really work on that. And I want my kids to have a dad who not only put bread on the table, but who invested in their lives and in their dreams. I'm responsible for discipling my sons. And then other people come along and help. But I'm the one responsible for my sons. And then I'm a pastor and a teacher and a discipler. Now that's what God's called me to be. He's probably called you to be a brain surgeon or an accountant or a teacher or something like that. They're all legitimate. And I'm also a member of a society. But these are on my trailer. The day may come I'm no longer a husband and a father. Something tragic might happen and I lose Nancy and the kids. But that doesn't stop my purpose in life. That was just part of the responsibility I had, but I keep pursuing Jesus. That's my tractor, and this is my trailer. You need both of them, but see them as different, and each having different components or different dynamics. Questions on that? Well, then let's move to this next question of how do you state it? I want to just challenge you with an idea, and I'm going to have to leave it. You'll have to work on this. But there is tremendous value in composing what's come to be referred to as a personal mission statement. This is a simple description of what you understand about what God wants you to do with your life. There's not a best way to do this. For some of you, it's a simple one-liner. For me, I'm a little more verbose. And so, as you saw on the last slide, it's worked itself out in two paragraphs. Some of you are into bullet points. That's irrelevant. The point is, you put it on paper. Now, why am I so emphatic about that? Well, think about it. If you can't write it down, you must not know what it is. If I know my Social Security number, guess what I can do? I can write it down. Recently, Oklahoma changed their driver's license number. And so it's no longer your Social Security number. And I haven't memorized it yet. So if I needed to, guess what I'm not able to do? I can't write it down because I don't know it. Now, we're not being difficult here. We're simply saying, gang, if you know what your life purpose is, even in general terms, you can write it down. If you can't write it, you don't know it yet. And I'm not saying that to put a guilt trip on you. What I'm doing is I'm trying to nudge you to take the time to start working on how do I actually put this into words. I think in your notes I gave you an article from Rick Warren on the value and how to actually go about writing this down. Is that spend some time this afternoon or when you get a break, read that, and then in the next few weeks, start the process of writing this. But gang, once you've written it, don't feel like it's chiseled in concrete. Remember, this is a long-term discovery thing. I'm still tweaking my life, my purpose statement. Not in a major sense, but every so often I'll adjust it a little bit. That's the way this works. Start writing it down. What's our next slide, Mike? Let me wrap up with this thing. How do you start doing this thing called life purpose? Well, let me just emphasize that what Paul said about it in Ephesians 5, he said, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because your days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, understand what your purpose is. And don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. The idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is how we live out our life purpose, works itself out in being careful in how you use your time. Now, let me give you a simple idea to help you start imagining, what do I do with this thing of life purpose? On the next slide, there's a story about a teacher who was trying to make a point. One day he came in, and on his desk he put a gallon jar, big mouth gallon jar, and then he had some rocks, he had some gravel, he had some sand, and he had some water. Have you heard the story before? Put the rocks in, and then he asked, is it full? And they said, no, it's not full yet. And so he put the gravel in and shook it around, and he said, is it full? And they said, no, it's not full yet. And he put the sand in and shook it, and it kind of filled up a little more. And he says, is it full? And somebody said, no, you can get some more in. And he put some water in and got it full, and he says, what's the lesson? Somebody in the back raised their hand and said, well, the lesson is if you work real hard, you can cram as much into there as you possibly can. And he says, no, that's not the lesson. The lesson is, if I hadn't put the big rocks in first, the little rocks and the water would have crowded them out. Point being, gang, if you're not careful to manage your time, somebody else will manage it for you. If you don't know your life purpose, and then make that the first thing and do that first, somebody else will manage your time for you. So, as I've wrestled with this in my own life, here's what the Lord has taught me to do, and I'll give it to you. You take this and modify it and see how it works for you. I've got the tractor part of my life and the trailer part of my life. The tractor part of my life is my heart. I want to know Jesus Christ as fully as I possibly can. I want to follow Him, and I want to pay whatever price He asks me to pay. Now, I know what that it takes to do that. So every weekend, generally on Saturday, sometimes it's on Sunday afternoon, I sit down and I answer the question, what am I going to do this coming week to fulfill that part of my life purpose? What am I going to do to know Jesus Christ as well as I possibly can? And I just sit there and think about that. And I assume the Lord is giving me ideas. And as ideas come to mind, I'll start to make a little list. Many times it's the same things I was doing the week before. But that's what I plan to do this week in order to fulfill that part of my life purpose. And every day, I start my day with that. Because if I don't do it, it'll get crowded out. And then I sit down with the rest of my life purpose, and I ask the question, what'll I do this week to develop as a man? What'll I do this week to be the best husband and father I can be? What'll I do this week to make disciples? What'll I do this week to be the best elder and staff member of my church, and so forth? And I don't come up with everything that I can possibly think of, but I come up with the things I know are most important. And then I plan my week around that. And the other things I have to squeeze in between. But I'm convinced if I simply live my life like this, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, when I'm in my 60s, instead of being like that grandmother that came to my seminar a few weeks ago who said, "My whole life I've simply been doing what happened to come along," I'll be able to look back on my life and I will be able to say that by doing it one week at a time, doing first things first, I lived life on purpose and I accomplished what God has given me to do instead of coming to the end of my life and saying I totally missed the mark. Consider what I've said and over the next 10 years, see if the Lord gives you understanding in how to do this for yourself. Thanks for your time.